It's Sunday, March the 24th, 2024. And this is the Fakeologist Show. It's Sunday, of course, and it's early. We usually start at 8 o'clock p.m. But you know, whenever I start early, that means there's probably somebody from across the pond on the broadcast, because who wants to be up at 2 in the morning over in Europe or England when they're talking on my show? Most people do not stay up all night, and I don't blame them. I go to bed pretty promptly, which is part of my health regimen. Going to bed on time served me well for a long time. Today we're gathering for sort of a somber event, and that is we're going to remember Northern Tracy, who was on my broadcast as I was reviewing many, many, many times, maybe 5 or 6 times. And I just called her up sometimes randomly when the show started at 8 o'clock, and she'd say, "Hey, Tracy, you want to talk?" So maybe that I did that once or twice. But over the last couple of years, she got really busy, and apparently she got sick, and she wasn't really available. And the last time I talked to her was maybe a year ago, and I wanted her to come on, but she was working on the book, I think The King of Dents with Steve Faulkner. And then all of a sudden we read on the feces book or Facebook that she's dead. So that really sucks. So I just asked around who could come on and talk about and remember her with me. And I'm not really part of her community. I come, of course, more from Media Fakery, but I did really enjoy talking to her, and I like talking to anyone that talks really plain English, common sense, and she was probably the best at it. So I invited and got a response from Dawn of whatreallymakesyouill.com. So she was gracious enough to come on and wanted to recount some of her remembrances. And I don't really know, Dawn, what your connection with Northern Tracy was at all, or what you know of her, but I'm happy to reminisce with you. So welcome to the show.
Thank you for inviting me. Yes, I knew Tracy. Her actual book that she wrote that came out very recently. Trust me, I'm not a doctor. That's it. Yes. Yeah. She kindly asked me to write one of the forewords for her, which was lovely. I mean, to get that kind of respect from someone who'd been on the battlefield for many decades. And in that, I was trying to remember when we'd first made contact. And I think it was through Facebook somewhere around 2012 or something like that. Just in those days, we could say or write a little bit more, and so we were a little bit more open about what we were saying and discussing about the germ theory being a load of nonsense, and just a pack of lies. And there weren't too many people saying that back then, so I think she was quite happy to find somebody else, because she'd been out there for years before I even started getting out there on Facebook. So we connected that way, and we'd have kind of exchanges on Facebook. And then I kind of took a bit of a step when I was really diving into the book, so I wasn't on Facebook as much, and then coming back on in after the book was published in 2019. And then this whole COVID rubbish, nonsense, psyop, propaganda. So obviously we got back in contact, and we ended up having quite a number of private chats over the years. I appeared with her on I can't remember what it's called now, the library.
The Australian guy, the Kraz files.
Oh, not together. We weren't together. It was something that a friend of hers, Alan Buttle, had invited me to. Something libraries. Oh, the names escaped me. So we were on that together, and that was fun. I know, yeah, she was a little nervous about being on interviews and podcasts and things. I mean, I don't know why, because she just had so much information. She'd been looking into all of this for so long, and she'd really dived deep and really got just a huge amount of information. I mean, she didn't start on the whole germ theory thing. That it was, she was an animal activist from the very beginning. I mean, for absolutely decades, that was her soapbox, really. That's where she started, really being an animal activist, and she was very passionate about that, and you know, very strong in her views, and her kind of, you know, the northernness, the her very direct manner, which is, you know, some people like, some people don't. It's, I mean, she was very direct. At the same time, she had this amazingly huge heart. I mean, obviously, she was just, you know, she did it for, she was speaking out for those who couldn't speak out for themselves. You know, I mean, we had various discussions about things like vivisection and, you know, discussing certain ideas, and just, you know, we were really just, yeah, we got to be good friends on those private conversations. And, you know, she, I got to see, you know, that side of her more. Even though, you know, she still had a kind of, you know, she could have a sharp tongue and everything. And yeah, you know, there's
Well, where was she from? Was she from Northern Ireland or England? I get mixed up because I know she moved to London for a while. But was she Irish?
No, she was originally from the north of England, and I can't remember exactly. I mean, that's the Northern Tracy. It was just something to do with where she'd worked, and she, you know, so
okay.
So she was from the north, you know. So that's again recognizing the accents. And yes, she lived in London for some time, and some years ago, she moved over to Ireland.
Okay. For some reason, I got her mixed up as an Irish lass. But she wasn't. She was English. Yes, someone told me that today. I didn't believe it. But I never really asked many personal details of her anyway, because it wasn't the focus of our broadcast. Let's just say hi to you. You invited Dr. Amanda Vollmer. So she's in the studio now. Hopefully, can you hear us, Amanda?
Hi there. Hi, everyone.
Hey, welcome back. You've been on our show before. It's been a long time. Fellow Canadian, how are you?
Good, doing well. Still in Canada though, so whatever. But yeah, doing okay.
I'm not leaving.
Hi, Don.
Canada will have to leave me. I'm not leaving them, just because why should I have to move? But you know,
I know they can move.
They can move out if they want. Although I was hearing today about whatever hate laws are being passed, so just about anything we talk about could be categorized as hate. So that was the latest thing I learned from the guy watching Texas. So I get all my news about Canada from Texas now. So, yeah, it's crazy. What did you, Amanda, what was your connection with Northern Tracy, or is it Tracy Northern?
Yeah, well, I go back with her about 2017 when we first connected. She got wind of me, and then, hey, a real cool chick that I need to know. So we connected really through Facebook mainly, actually. And she'd come to me with really deep insight. She knew that I already had blown apart the germ theory, and she was also on that path. And so we had conversations really about terrain and about health, holistic approaches. She had some health concerns that I supported her with. And then she also has a daughter who was having a lot of health problems as well. So I was kind of like, I'm kind of like the truthers, doctors, you know, sometimes people just come to you when they need help.
There aren't very many out there. So you gotta cast your net far and wide to find anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's too bad. Well, I'm trying to build more like me through my membership through Yummy Dot Doctor. I'm trying to like build more people who know how to doctor themselves and understand mm-hmm. terrain so that they can be empowered and then they can tell others and so forth, because we have to get back to folk medicine and earth-based medicine and vibrational medicine and just dump this whole germ theory insanity. Mm-hmm. We talked a lot about that when I was going back over our feed, because I was actually traveling back from Florida when I found out, because I missed when she died. I was packing and then we were traveling, and that was the following Saturday when I found out, you know, that she had passed. And I was on the airplane when I found out, and I gasped very loudly on the airplane. And we hadn't spoken for a little while. But, you know, I think the whole corona hoax really affected a lot of us and tore a lot of different connections apart. And she got really busy with what she was doing. Mm-hmm. And I got busy with what I was doing. But it was funny because her daughter was having a lot of health issues that I was supporting her with. And then she came back to me after, says, "I don't know what you did, but now my daughter's also pregnant and she's been trying to get pregnant for a really long time." So,
oh, wow.
So that was really, that's a gift. Really wonderful. Yeah. So she has a baby. She's a child now.
Oh, great. And,
So Tracy was a grandma.
Oh, yeah, I know. That was sort of one of the issues. She was sparring with one of her children about vaccines, and they were, I don't know if it was because of corona.
It was her son's partner.
Right.
Who had totally bought into the whole mainstream BS and was not even prepared to listen to Tracy, who... You know, it wasn't as if, you know, Tracy kind of, you know, excuse the child, I just don't like woke up. But anyway, who'd kind of come to the knowledge 2020? I mean, she'd, you know, as Amanda said, she'd known for decades. She was, you know, really early onto the whole germ theory lie. And, you know, she just obviously trying to share her knowledge and just being totally ignored, which is hard, which is really hard, because, of course, their child is her grandchild. So again, it's really tough for her, you know. And I think, like I was saying before, you know, even though she might have seemed a bit of a tough cookie, you know, she was, you know, she was soft inside as well. She had a huge heart, big heart. And I think those kinds of things, you know, they affect you. And a lot of people have been infected in these last few years by just that kind of thing of, you know, people who find out genuinely want to help other people, say, "Look, I found this out, and you know this can help you," and they just treat you like, you know, like you're unimportant, or they just ignore you, or they call your names. Yeah, I mean, it's hard. It's heartbreaking. So hard.
Yeah.
I didn't think she had access to her granddaughter or son from in that relationship. I think she was struggling to even see the grandchild. That's what I remember. Do you remember, Amanda, about that situation?
No, because I think after she hadn't, I think we got in a little disagreement, and you know, we were about food, because she was really strict vegan, and I have like a different opinion about some things, and you know, I just I feel like it can work for some people, but not for everyone, you know, and I think that was like a line in the sand for her, which kind of made me sad, but you know, I still would communicate with her.
Us truthers makes too many lines in the sand. Us truth seekers. We, you know, if you don't agree with me on 9/11, I have to cut you off. I mean, it's just not a good way to do things. I agree to disagree with many people on many things, because most of us all here have an opinion on every single thing. So we know we're not going to be perfectly aligned, but I think we get the general gist.
But we still have to love, you know. It's like, yeah, you're right. So, it's just
we have to concentrate on all the overlaps. We have many overlaps, so we should really, like, I didn't even ask Northern Tracy about any of her views on some of the things I used to focus on, because they weren't relevant at the time. Because we really have to focus our energy on the coronavirus hoax and how it's being used to just leverage just an insane program on us for the future, because this is not going to go away for sure. So yeah, we focused on just the whole virus germ theory thing. That's how our conversations went anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't surprise me about the, you know, her being so strict on the veganism thing, because, like I said, her starting place was animal activism, you know, animal cruelty and all of that. So it's that's where she came from. So that was obviously such a big thing for her. I mean, I don't have such strict ideas on those sorts of things, and also I'd never let it. I'd do my best to make sure it didn't come in between friendships. You know, I mean, I know, you know, I have different views. It's just, you know, I kind of, well, that suits me, but I respect other people if they have different views, and I just go, well, that's where I am at the moment, and I'm open to learning. So I do understand that those kind of strict views can actually have all kinds of emotional consequences for people, and sometimes the emotional side of things can trigger all kinds of health problems. So, you know, that's a big part of it. And so I'm not saying I know what happened or what caused it, and I'm just sharing my perspective on, as I say, you know, where she was. She was so strong on that, and I respect her for that, you know, with the animal activism, her views. And, you know, so just sometimes you can kind of stick to something a bit too strictly and it can cause problems.
Be a little stubborn, yeah.
That's one word, yeah, stubborn.
Yeah, I know more in quite some detail, but you can see, you know, she was quite heavy.
She didn't look too great in this picture, did she? Just thought own page, by the way.
Yeah, she was definitely having some emotional stuff going on, and then she was having some respiratory issues and some liver problems too. So she was ill. She was struggling for a little while.
She was coughing all the time when I talked to her. I think she was a smoker too, which is never a good thing.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought, because I heard her hacking away during some of our shows. So ironic, isn't it, that someone so knowledgeable of what makes us sick was not really helping herself.
Well, it's hard, I think, from the perspective I can see, is when people do that. For one, tobacco is a sacred plant that does protect you spiritually. And so I know a lot of people in the truth community who use it. They abuse it or don't use it correctly for that purpose, but I understand the draw to it, because it does protect your energy field. It just needs to be done cleanly and in like ritual and stuff, but not just like smoking a pack a day kind of thing. And
it'll keep me away from your energy field if you're smoking away. So, let's be honest here. It's a sort of a dirty habit.
I see why people do it. I understand it, you know. And then if you're struggling emotionally, you're trying to cope, and then you're not using the allopathic system, so you're trying to find something that will work. And a lot of other things could be used that get you on a vicious cycle and affect your health. And you know, even alcohol or marijuana, you know, usage can sort of give you a temporary relief, but then you have to pay the piper after, and it can become a vicious cycle. So I understand the struggles, and the psychic attacks are hard to manage, and there's a lot of social isolation more than ever before. And there's so much work. There's a huge workload. I'm always trying to manage the workload and not let it weigh me down. And people are always coming to me for help, and I'm trying to balance that in my life, and it can be a challenge, you know, to be in that world, to know so many things, and to also have compassion, trying to protect innocence as much as possible, and also trying to live in this world where it's like, no matter what you do, things get killed and destroyed just by like going out in a car or walking around, you know, like just eating anything. you know, something had to die for it. And it's like trying to make sense of this place. And I don't know the circumstances exactly, but, you know, her sister is an allopathic nurse. And so when what happens is when you're sick, right, your loved ones come around, they're concerned, and then like, well, you have to go to the hospital, you know? And so she got pulled into that situation of going to the hospital, and then that can just go on a downward spiral pretty quickly. So,
There are no options in an allopathic hospital. You do their program or that's it.
I mean, it was great that her sister was there to help her and support her when she was obviously not very well. And obviously being Tracy, she was not planning on going down the allopathic route. But as Amanda said, you know, I kind of knew some of those things as well, and you know, not really sure quite like what to share, and you know, because of having private conversations. But as you say, you know, she had had that cough for a while, and you know, I'd said about the kind of, you know, smoking thing. At the same time, there are plenty of people who smoke who are fine. So again, you know, as Amanda said, it's how you use it, what you're using it for. If there are other things going on, that may well have weakened it. So, I mean, there's always a multiple factors, and so it's you can't say it was any one thing. It's just obviously a lot of things altogether, and the fact that she got pulled into the allopathic system may well have been quite upsetting from her, which is putting it mildly, but knowing that there was nothing that she could do, and her sister was only doing her best. So you know, I mean, she was looking after her at some point at home, you know, at Tracy's house, so obviously Tracy was getting the care, but it just was too much for her to cope. And that's the problem when there aren't more Amandas around to help her.
Do we know how old she was? Was she in her 60s?
I think she just had her 64th birthday.
Okay, wow. Mm-hmm. Well, what, either of you, what was your favorite memory in terms of what she would discuss? What was your first thing that you heard her say? You said, wow, this lady can really simplify things down to a working man's understanding of just the whole way our body works. And was there anything in particular, any podcast, any theme that she had that you can remember and recall? Because I just love the way she could distill things down into really simple prose, especially on her blog here, which is Northern Tracy's Scribblings here.
Yes, yeah. Her scribblings are what have been put into her book. You know, trust me, I'm not a doctor, so you know, at least it's all been kept. It's all there. For me, it's, as you say, just her directness, straightforwardness, and really just putting it in a way that people could understand, you know, not sort of fancy language at the same time. But I mean, very down to earth, as if she's talking to you, you know, wasn't just, you know, just, yeah, just her lovely way of expressing herself, you know, writing as if she was talking to you. So you're reading it and you can hear her speaking to you. And also she carried on looking. I mean, you know, the like the amino age article. I mean, just it wasn't just, oh, you know, germ theory is rubbish. You know, she went into detail into all sorts of other areas and putting the dots together, as we're all trying to do. And you know, like a kind of, you know, an idiot's guide. It's just her very straightforward way, and that's, I suppose, in a way, the sort of the northern way, that, you know, just very direct, very straightforward, and in a way that, you know, people can understand. Because if people have come out of the, you know, following the allopathic system, and it's hard to kind of just jump all the way the other side, and so she was able to really put these concepts across in a way, and she was just very straightforward.
What about you, Amanda?
Yeah, I really, really loved her. I loved for me with because a lot of writers, like there's only a handful of us, you know, really who get it right. Like I'd read a lot of writings and there would be things in it where I agree, and then other things where I'm like, oh, they're so close, you know. But she wrote an article about cancer, you know, what if it's not a disease, what if it's actually a cure? And I've subscribed to that for a very long time. Yeah. And just like Dawn said, when you read it, you feel transported into her world and her existence. And she brought in real personal, meaningful stories into her writing. I mean, she talked about her mom. Her mom died, you know, in her 40s, in her late 40s, breast cancer and the treatments of breast cancer. And it really woke her up, you know, to the whole chemo and surgery, radiation racket. And when she was, you know, after she gave birth to her daughter, she got mastitis, but it freaked her out because she thought, oh my gosh, you know, am I getting breast cancer too? You know? And it sort of took her into a deeper place of research because she knew something was wrong. The whole mammogram story and the whole thing they tell you about having to have it every year, she just was like, something's off about this. So she did the deep dive into cancer and wrote all about it. And, you know, I mirrored that on yummy.doctor. I mirrored her article there because I thought it was so important for people, you know. But she was spot on and to the point where, yeah, it's a backup mechanism. It's trying to protect you and it's actually part of the healing process of your body. And then we go in and cut it away and attack it and add more insult to injury with poisons when this is a bodily mechanism that is doing its best to keep you alive. And yeah, she also lost her sister to a cancer also. And so she had a lot to say around the whole cancer machine and what a tumor really is, what's really going on with the body. And she also tied in the emotional cause of illness, which is important. That has to be always spoken with when you're talking about holistic medicine and the energy aspects of things with our, how they use, you know, all kinds of killing of everything. They always want to kill everything with the antibiotics and anti everything. Instead of cleaning it up, you know, cleaning the toxins, cleaning up the debris, helping the body release the emotions, release the wastes. She just got that and she understood natural hygiene. And I really appreciated that about her.
Yeah, she was definitely getting more and more interested in German New Medicine and looking into that and certainly was aware of that aspect. And yes, I mean, you're showing her article on the anaphylaxis. Yes. Again, the anaphylaxis, you know, again, it's very, very interesting that she just would look at all sorts of aspects or, you know, dive into other areas and question. I mean, you know, she didn't believe the allopathic system and she was questioning all aspects of it. You know, she'd just keep thinking, you know, I mean, that's in some of our, you know, conversations. I mean, you know, yes, we had private chats, but it was sometimes, you know, diving into different thoughts about all kinds of areas and what we thought about this, that and the other. And, you know, again, with the whole genetic thing, I mean, knowing that that's rubbish as well, you know, that there's no such thing as a genetic disease. So, you know, your genes don't cause it. So it's kind of, you know, going into diving into that and, you know, just having this lovely conversation about, you know, different thoughts and then relating them to, again, experiences, because obviously our experiences help inform us. And her having had, you know, two family members die of cancer, I mean, that can be really, really tough emotionally. And not saying she, you know, she was scared of that or, you know, it can be scary. And at the same time, you know, she understood enough to know that that was not anything she needed to worry about. But it's still very sad when you lose family members to a system that, you know, is just the opposite of helpful. You know, it's just, it's destructive. Yeah. And certainly the whole cancer thing is incredibly destructive. It's just a money machine. And keeping people up, you know, the tests, you know, going back every year for these so-called tests. And there's so much involved in all of that. And, you know, she just exposed all of that.
Yeah, she would have been so great to have around now that cancer is being promoted by the royal family now as the latest and greatest. So I would have loved to get her take on all this because, you know, even for me as a fakeologist and I guess you guys as health specialists, sometimes this propaganda can just bowl you over because you don't even know where to start with people because they think, oh my God, the king, the princess, everyone's getting it. And you try and figure out, okay, what is the psychological operation behind this story today? What are they trying to promote now?
I've got my doubts as to whether it's even a real story, and that's not based on anything. So I'm agreeing with you there. Why are they pushing cancer? What's that about? Or are they just trying to make a story as to why? I don't know. Yeah. Like we were saying, you know, before we started, it's like everything's fake, so I don't trust it at face value, that's for sure. And I don't know what's behind it. We may never know. I just don't.
They're going to let you know. You're going to have to wait, though. You're going to have to wait. They reveal their hand as it goes. What do you think, Amanda?
Oh, yeah. Such a charade. It's just yet another... it's just another pull on people's energies and it's a refocusing, right? I mean, they just string everybody along and it's amazing how many still just fawn over the royals, which I just still find completely bizarre. Why?
It's a human fault. Humans love to follow. I really don't think we have many leaders. They love to follow somebody. They love entertainment. They love, you know, pomp and circumstance. And these characters in our lives are so influential that it doesn't matter what they do or say, people are going to just follow right up on everything that's going on in and around them. And to the detriment of people around them, they're just going to ignore people that make more sense, like you, me, and everyone else in our community. And just, what does Prince Charles have to say, or King Charles or whatever his name is? So. I personally think they're trying to normalize cancer and just say, well, if the king and the princess can get it and this is what they do about it, then when it comes to when one out of two people allegedly get diagnosed with cancer, then it won't be so unusual. And then you too should go to the allopathic factories and get your slash burn and poison. And I'm sure that's what they're promoting.
Yeah, because one of the things is they're promoting, and I saw the word preventative chemotherapy, and I thought, wow. How can that be? Well, in respect of, you know, the whoever she is, anyway, Kate, it's and yet if she's got a diagnosis, how can it be preventative? So, it is a psyop. The other thing is, what are they making us look at, or what are they distracting us from? What else is going on that they're trying to draw our attention to this, you know, pomp and nonsense? And, you know, what else is going on? So it's always, you know, don't look over there, look somewhere else. And I mean, yes, it is. I suspect it's because there's more cancer, you know, because of the jabs and everything that's going on. You know, people are more poisoned and all of that, and the fear thing, you know, because the emotion, everyone's been made to be scared for the last 4 years, so their systems are all over the place. So, you know, there is going to be an uptick in cancer. So, like you say, maybe they're normalizing it so that they go, well, you know, it's normal, you know, the roles, and the roles, don't even want to call them that, that family, they're, you know, they haven't, I doubt if they've been jabbed.
No.
Yeah, but then they're like, oh, look, the princess is doing chemo, the princess is doing surgery, so we should do it too. If she'll do it and they have all the money in the world, they're not talking about holistic aspects. They're not even talking about homeopathy anymore. They're not talking about natural treatments. They're doing the cut, burn, poison method. So we should do it too. And oh, hey, we have this new cancer vaccine out that will prevent more vaccines. I mean, they're puppets. And, you know, we know the Rothschilds own them. they're not even like, they're also victims. Like they've been taken over too, because this is the entire Rothschild Rockefeller medicine cartel. And they're owned by those families. And so they do whatever they're told to do. Oh, yeah. And when they want to sacrifice them, they sacrifice them. Like that video that came out of Kate, that's like 98.2% AI. Like that's, and she's wearing an outfit from 7 years ago. So we know that's a fabricated video. She's probably already dead. And so they'll AI, they can just differently, you know what I mean? Just keep the charade going.
Sorry, I was wondering. If something's happened to her and they're just putting out this story, and I wondered that.
I heard she went mental, like Diana. She cracked because they're so evil, and these are not like, these are people brought in to try to breed properly, right? Because they inbreed, and so they have to get fresh blood all the time and bring it in, right? So apparently, because what's his face is cheating on her with all kinds of women, she found out and she cracked and something went wrong mentally, and they did whatever.
I think these are all stories. These are all just, these are all BS stories. I think it would be great to have Northern Tracy, because she would probably cut through all this BS pretty good as well. But I'm just looking at her blog now. It went back to November 2020, but she also had a Hive, which is another kind of strange decentralized Hive blog that she kept trying to get me on. And I said, listen, it's too much. I can't even set up a wallet. So I can't remember what the link to that blog is, but I think most of her stuff is on her WordPress site, which I never recommend people use other sites. They should use their own and own their own data. But nevertheless, I think somebody should probably try and download this entire site onto a their own server. So when it gets eventually not paid for, or maybe gets blitzed off as the purge continues on over year after year, that there's so much valuable stuff in here. I don't know if you guys have looked through all these different articles, but man, just this is where her best stuff was. I'm not on Facebook, so I don't know. I know that many people like Tracy spent a lot of time on Facebook just because it was probably easier and all her friends were over there. Do you guys, was there anything on Facebook that you picked up on or you follow? Are you guys on that platform as well?
Yes. I mean, that's one of the ways I kept in contact with her. I mean, we emailed as well, but she did take some time off Facebook, or she was blocked or something.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah, because she kept posting the truth, didn't she?
Yeah. Facebook is not a place for the truth.
No.
She would post. She would always cross post her articles on Facebook, so I'd always know when a new one dropped. You know.
Do any of you guys know what her family, because her family would obviously be in control of her estate, and the most valuable part of her estate is all her data, all her websites and all her content. I'm just curious if they have plans for archiving it in some form, or maybe some of her friends like you guys are maybe trying to pull the data before maybe it gets deleted.
Yeah, maybe I should mirror everything on my website just as a backup.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that.
Or anybody else. Who was Alan Buttle? Was that do you know how he was associated with Northern Tracy? Because I see he's on her page right now.
Yeah, he was. I mean, they were friends for many years. I don't know. I can't remember the backstory, how they met or.
Okay. It says about the animals and whatnot. I'm just curious if any of these people are helping back up her stuff, because it is pretty valuable. What did you guys think of her book? Did you guys get to read that, or is it this one here?
No, I don't have her book yet. I just have The Duke of Dents. That was really lovely that she was able to illustrate that book. And I talk a lot with Steve Falconer.
Yeah, I tried to get him on, but he's very busy.
Yeah, he just debuted his new song today, so I think that conflicted
with
the time.
Yeah, I think I saw that, yeah.
He gigs on Sunday nights, so yeah. He's an hour ahead, so it's sort of Sunday evenings. Yes, I mean, that's the other thing. Tracy was a phenomenal artist. I mean, she was just amazing. And again, the illustrations for the Dukes of Dance, I mean, they're just brilliant. Yeah. Because they also, Steve produced a short film of the Dukes of Dance. I mean, it just showcased her art and her illustrations. There was once where she just, we were talking about something. She said, I can't remember what it was. I think it was we're talking about cats or something. And anyway, she just reproduced an illustration of a cat really quickly and sent it to me. It was just amazing. You know, she's very talented. So again, not just the, not just the research and the writing, you know, she's incredibly artistic as well. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, there you are, that.
Put a link to that. I'll put a link to that. Everything we're talking about, I try and link in the show notes. So if anyone wants to follow up and look at her stuff, I most enjoy listening to her, just read some of her prose as well. That's how I was first pointed out to her when she was reading some of her stuff on a podcast. And I thought, wow, this is really easy to understand. And now I'm really getting it. And if anything, we have to try and share this kind of information, and it's pretty heavy stuff. So if anyone can simplify it like she did, I found it very valuable. So maybe Dukes of Dance, I haven't watched this, but maybe Dukes of Dance is in a similar vein.
Yes, it is. It is aimed at, it is a children's book. So, and yet a children's book, as you know, knowing Steve and Tracy, with various different levels. You know, there's always different levels in there and more to get each time. So, yeah, there were other books in the pipeline, but of course, unfortunately, she won't be doing the illustration. So they will have a different style. So, yeah.
Were either of you able to attend her online memorial? I tried to log in today, but it's already blocked or the password doesn't work. I'm just curious if there was anything there of interest that you guys saw or witnessed.
I didn't see that. So somehow that didn't get to me. I didn't get the information. So that was okay.
Yeah, yeah, no, on her Facebook page on the top, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Or her daughter. Yeah, it's just interesting that you always wonder, we're all truthers in our own way. So if we disappear or die, how does our family usually isn't related at all to our research, I find. So when we go, so goes the research, which is kind of a sad thing, a sad legacy. For instance, Tracy's book, I'm just curious if they can or would continue to promote that. What do you guys think?
I don't know. I mean, I from what I saw, her daughter was still somewhat in shock, so I didn't feel it was appropriate to start asking those sorts of questions. I mean, I had no contact with her daughter. I don't know how much, you know, whether she knew of me, whether Tracy had mentioned, so I don't know if I was a strange name or not. So
yeah.
Isn't
that interesting? Because us truthers are so isolated within our own colonies, when we go, we just sort of poof, disappear in a vacuum. Where even our own research would just probably not carry on. Do you see what I'm saying? Like you, Don, you wrote a book, so it's more of a legacy.
Tracy's book. She's got her book. You know, trust me, I'm not a doctor, and. Yeah. That has a lot of her writings in it, a lot of her articles.
Yeah.
I'm embarrassed to say I haven't read it.
I haven't either.
But I was honoured to be asked to write a foreword for her. So, you know, that's out there, and that will always be out there. And, you know, obviously if people are interested in helping promote that, you know, I mean, that's her work. So again, it's, even if it disappears from the internet, it's still there in book form, you know, that is there. So, I mean, October 20, I mean, that's just incredible that that was finished and published late last year. And who would have believed that just a few short months later?
Danny wrote a review here. It says, if you like Dawn Lester and David Parker and other independent researchers, you will love Tracy's book also. That's cool. Keep it simple. The KISS principle. Keep it simple, smart. So there you go. That's pretty cool.
Yes. And definitely it's there. And, you know, I mean, that's really sweet of that person to say, except that Tracy was there years before our book came out. So, you know, it's, I mean, yeah.
And I like this one. This customer says their name is Anaphylaxis, the Real Bioweapon. So I'm kind of excited because I think I had a little bit of influence pointing Tracy to what I found out about anaphylaxis. And that's when I love tossing these ideas to people that can really interpret them, like Tracy, because she did an article on anaphylaxis, which, you know, could be the real thing that kills people just by the way the protein works. Even the guy that discovered it, he didn't have any idea how it worked. I don't even think anyone knows to this day how it works, but she wrote about it, and this person adopted that name as his username and said, buy a dozen copies for your family and friends during the holiday season. This chapter, Anaphylaxis, the Real Bioweapon, alone would shock them to the core, i.e. save their lives from the eugenicists. Tracy Northern is the Polaris that refuses to budge in front of tyranny. Wow. Only 3 reviews, so it doesn't seem like too many people have bought it yet, so hopefully we can help promote it.
Yes, that would be good if more people would, you know, buy the book. I mean, I'd like to think she's seeing just how much. There was so much love when it was mentioned on Facebook.
Right. Yeah.
You know, there's just an outpouring of love, and it was lovely. It was just amazing.
So as you said, this is probably a lot of her essays that are in here. Yeah, I'm going to order the thing. I don't even use a Kindle, but I think I'll take a peek at it. Why not? We should put our money where our mouth is, I would say. Here we go. Maybe we can see. Yeah, here we go. Simplification is the ultimate sophistication, Leonardo da Vinci. So maybe this will have your forward in it, Dawn.
Yeah.
Oh, it does probably here. Yeah, there you go. There's your forward. Well, we should. And James Kaminsky, I think I don't think I've talked to him. I don't think he does interviews, but he also wrote something on this. So.
And Steve Faulkner also wrote.
Oh, wow. So you did James, Steve. Okay, there's a few of them in here. Wow. Any other memories that you want to relate, Amanda, about Tracy?
You know, we were both on Sally Elcordy's. We were both interviewed by Sally Elcordy, and she had died a few years ago as well. Like,
oh boy,
I can't remember now. But when
were you on,
like 2020 or something like that? No, we both knew her, and we, you know, when she died, we kind of reconnected, go, what the heck, you know, what happened? And, you know, I felt like we were running parallel paths in so many ways that we were interacting with same people. And I remember having a conversation with her about that, and how insane the times were, and through like the COVID hoax. And yeah, we just touched in, you know, every now and again when stuff like that would happen. But you can go back that was the other thing with Sally. After she died, I was also like, where's her blog? She had Blog Talk Radio or whatever that one was.
Blog Talk Radio. I remember that one.
Blog Talk Radio, that's it. And so now, and I didn't save that one somehow, like that one, we did quite a few interviews, but one particular one, I went back to go and get it and it was like broken. It was a broken link. So I don't know. I didn't find out who was taking care of her accounts, and her family was also very different than her. And so I worry about that when someone passes on, if the family, you know, just destroys their stuff or doesn't honor their work, you know, because
especially if they were disconnected from it. I kind of worry about that. I'm going to do my will where I'm going to tell my children, no, you have to pay for this domain. You have to keep this going. It's only $12 a year.
Yeah.
You've got to keep this domain going. Don't let it go fallow. And then someone swallows it up and redirects it to a gambling or a porn site. Like happens almost all the time.
And try to
sell it for big bucks. Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of why I wanted to convene so we could just sort of brainstorm, because we all had a connection to her in a small way. You guys maybe more than me, but I just really felt really sad about the thing that I didn't get to talk to her in the last couple of years, and I didn't know about her decline. I would have maybe made more of an effort to reach out, but we've all been just going gangbusters with this this psychological attack on us that's in year number 4. Actually, we're in year 5 now, aren't we?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, that's it. It's not to think, you know, to get kind of, oh, we should have done something, because, you know, you can only do as much as you're doing. And, you know, but it does show it's important for those of us who are kind of out there to stay in contact with each other and be supportive of each other, you know, because sometimes it's not easy and we can get a bit overwhelmed, and it's great when you've got somebody who always just go, you know, just have a chat, however, you know, whether it's online or, you know, just a text chat or whatever, just to say, oh, you know, how are you doing? And so the other person goes, oh, you know, it's all a bit shit. So he's like, oh, you know, I'm here, have a chat, you know, just to have that kind of support, because, you know, it's tough going sometimes when it's relentless, you know, and it takes its toll.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why I do my show. I like talking about this kind of talk just with people that have no issue and understand what we're talking about here. Even if we're all on different levels, different wavelengths, we have different interests, we have different tangents that we go on. Just in general, all of us have this baseline understanding that this is not natural. This is a man-made operation. We're not sick. We're not asymptomatic. It's just almost everything we're told is upside down world. So it just makes it an easy baseline for us to all rest our feet on. And then we can talk about other things, knowing we all know what the hell's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So Tracy was a big part of it. And it's a real tragedy that she was taken so early. In your 60s is definitely too early. And I don't want it to be the quote unquote new normal.
Definitely not. No. No, 60s is definitely too young. You know, when, you know, even this, you know, 3 score year in 10 nonsense, and, you know, that's still limiting how, you know, I'm sure, you know, we can live way more. And, you know, and then there's this whole thing of trying to make out the older people, you know, the aging thing. Infirmity is a normal part of aging. So, you know, as you get older, and, you know, you automatically become more enfeebled, and, you know, that's why it makes it even more tragic that, you know, to have lost her at that age. So
just looking around you guys, in your immediate circles and maybe your farther out circles, are you witnessing any kind of death and extra illness in the people you know that were vaccinated or COVID shot? Are you guys experiencing anything as we just close out year 4 of this operation?
Well, there's a lot of death. I really don't have friends that are vaccinated.
Yeah.
Like I for me, a long time ago, I really closed up my inner circle quite tightly. If they weren't really awake, or at least awake to a greater degree, or at least know about the allopathic system, you know, I wasn't people I would really hang around with. My family disowned me. Most of my family disowned me during COVID. So
really?
I know they're all doing poorly with their, they're always, it's like sick is the new normal. It's with them.
Is that
always
right?
Always have something wrong. They always have a thing. They always have to go to the doctor. They always, you know, and or mental illness. So it's not just physical health, like my brother's mental from the shots and,
right,
you know, it's definitely the people who got the real one, not the fake one, because you know, they did saline as well and whatever.
It's probably targeted for sure. I think they targeted.
Yeah, you couldn't kill everybody. You can't kill every. You can't. You know, it's too obvious. You have to just target. But like my daughter's one side of the family, I can't believe they're still alive. I think they're on their eighth shot. Like I cannot believe it. But they're deaf. They're aged. They look very old compared to what they used to look like. They're not, their faculties are not quite right. Their driving skills have gone way downhill. They're angry all the time, or they have emotional diseases. So it's
accidents. That's a word I think is a real thing going on. Accidents, people passing out behind the wheel. You know, they don't die necessarily of the clot shot immediately, but all the things that happen if they pass out and they're driving, they cross the center line, that kind of, those kind of things are happening, I do believe, more than normal.
They are trying to normalize mental health problems. You know, they're really pushing that out, not just for the elderly, because, you know, this whole dementia nonsense, and, you know, they're pushing it out you know, for younger people as well, you know, and children, you know, not just sort of young adults, but young children as well. I mean, they've been doing that for a long time with the whole kind of autism, ADHD and all that nonsense, and yet they're notching that up again as well, which is just a sign of putting out stuff to normalize things that are coming down the pipe because of all these people who have taken the clot shot, and, you know, that's really, well, the real ones, as Amanda said, you know, I mean, there's obviously, you know, that would have been awful for, well, it wouldn't have worked, or it would have been more obvious if it had been everybody. So, you know, it's just playing games.
Do you have people in your circles that you've noticed are
I don't have many people who that I know who've taken any. I know somebody who has, for you know, various reasons, which I understand, took kind of, you know, the first one or two, and said, "Well, I'm not having any more." But, you know, so there are people who are learning there's something really wrong with it all.
Yeah. Well, they've had enough time, haven't they?
Yes, and there are still some that are even refusing now, and I'm just, you know, we can't connect with them, and they're not the ones, you know, the ones that are still there. It's the ones that are kind of just, hang on a minute, you know, go, okay, well, you're a bit late, but welcome, you know. You know, just to help them see rather than shut them out. It's very difficult, though, because there's so much. You know, it's so overwhelming if they're just learning what's wrong and what is fake. I feel sorry for them because it's just a huge, huge mountain to climb for them. So
it is. All right. Well, we've been going about an hour. I think that's a pretty good time to wrap her up. I'll just show everyone that as I've been talking, I've been posting the links to Dawn's website, which is whatreallymakesyouill.com, I think. Is that correct?
Yes, thank you.
And so that is on this page here. So you can just click all these links. And then Amanda's website is yummy.doctor. So that is linked here, right around here. And I think it's...
Yeah, and all my other socials, Tim, are Like if you go to any one of my videos and just click on it, all the socials will come up underneath. Like they'll where I am on Facebook and Instagram and all my other websites and all that stuff. So in the video section, people can go if they want to follow me in any of my other platforms. Today I'm going live in an hour actually again on Instagram to talk about the measles fiasco. That's all come up all frothed up again. So we'll be putting that one to bed today.
It's whack-a-mole, isn't it? Once one goes down, they pop another one up, and then you have to re-explain yourself over and over again because, again, the propaganda is so thick and heavy. Even awake people, just we get overwhelmed. It's just really a lot to combat.
Yeah, I've also got a Substack. I've been writing for about 18 months now. Dawn's Writings. It's not linked on that.
I better find it.
Dawn's Writings. So it's dawnlester.substack.com.
Okay. Why is everyone going to Substack?
You know what? It's great because somehow it's not censored, and I'd have to say it's pretty much the only place that I'm really getting activity and interaction.
And there is an organic growth there as well, which you can't get from your own website unless you put it out somewhere. So, it does. And those of us who are kind of, in this, group, I mean, hopefully kind of we share. I know, the recommendations I get recommendations through people who are reading Amanda's Substack. So, there's a lot of cross-pollination between us, so it's good. And then we're exposing our audiences to all these other people. So there's a lot of, I think there's organic growth and hopefully reaching some people who may not have been aware. So it's, it's.
Are you feeling, do you think the same way about it, Amanda?
Yeah, and in fact, I'm going to start a podcast on Substack as well, because I've been trying to sort of streamline where to put my energy, and I put a lot of it obviously in the membership, but on Telegram, very active on Telegram, but even Telegram they've stumped my same thing with Instagram and Facebook, they won't let any of my accounts grow. So they've capped me. So it's the same thing there with Telegram. They've capped me.
And I'm thinking the Russia psyop of yesterday, 322, is some people are speculating they'll use that as a tool to filter or shut down Telegram as well. So
yes, apparently that. In Spain they've shut down Telegram as of today.
Wow. Yeah. So there goes. So who's behind Substack? Because if it's any part of the B system, to me, that's just a honeypot that's going to suck everyone back down another drain, and then poof, it'll be gone.
But the thing is, the good people could own it now, but not tomorrow, right? I mean, just like,
of course,
they just buy things up. So.
This is why I have my own lonely platform here, fakeologist.com or fakotube.com, but I understand the importance to just try and go where the people go, really. Yeah. And I know that's what you ladies are trying to do as well, because you just have to go. If the herd is grazing over here, then you have to go over there if you want to bring them towards you, don't you?
Yeah, you got to just do your best, to get out there.
Yes, I mean, there are lots of people developing all sorts of different ideas that will, doing their best to stay one step ahead. And again, so it's not just one other thing, it's lots of different things. And so it's not as easy for them to be just taken over and monopolized or just destroyed, from the inside out. So yes, no, thank you. I mean, that's my
subject. Is there any money? Can you make any money on these sites? Is there?
Yes, you can. You can. Mine is free at the moment. I'm, sort of subscribers free. I'm looking at all sorts of different things to do, to develop, it's just trying to keep keep going, keep moving. And one of the things I do concentrate on the articles I write is the whole fear thing and just how much mm-hmm. damage that can do in all sorts of ways, because A, it stops people thinking and being able yeah. to act, and two, it's detrimental kind of health-wise, you know, because that's the whole, you know, the emotional thing. And when you're stuck in fear, then, you know, your body is trapped in this place and it's not functioning properly.
Yeah, is that a benefit, do you think, of being a fakeologist type, where we, you know, that most of the stories are BS, no one's getting beheaded or slaughtered or rubber babies in Gaza? Do you think that helps our health?
Yeah, like where you put your energy is where it flows, right? I mean, where you focus. Yeah. So, and ultimately, it's like a bunch of black magic going on out there. And if you yeah. do subscribe to those energy draws, then you're kind of consenting, and you kind of make these internal contracts with, you know, entities. And I just had a massive journeying with ayahuasca, and mm-hmm. I was shown a lot about this realm and what's going on and how people's emotional fields when they get down to that level and stay in that level, they get all kinds of dark entities onto them. And so it's not just physical hygiene and mental and emotional hygiene, but it's like energetic hygiene has to be on the list too. And when we keep polluting ourselves with, you know, I see a lot of people just smoking and drinking and smoking yeah. drugs and like polluting, and then watching fear porn. I mean, that's just getting you sucked into the whole black magic spell that they're oh, trying yeah. to get everyone into. And we have to really tighten it up now and be quite disciplined with our lifestyle to have some sort of joy and purpose and remember who we are and what we're here to do, you know. And that became really, really clear for me this last week. And I really am, you know, promoting the cleaning up of our terrain on all levels, and just not even entertaining their crap anymore. Like I don't even feel a pull to a lot of the internet anymore. We should be in nature. We should be walking out into the forest and figuring out, you know, how do we live with nature rather than, you know, even the voting, the two-party politics system and stuff. It's mind-numbing, and it's not going to get us anywhere. You know, like there's never going to be a savior that's going to do it for us. We're going to have to, you know, grow up and do it. And a lot of us are doing it, which is the good news. Not enough, I would say, but that's what has to happen. So absolutely, like what Don's doing is important, because people have to understand to not get pulled into those lower states, those lower energy states, and just know the truth and then move on. You know what I mean? Like then stand in your wisdom and experience the truth so that you have that wisdom to impart on the children, and just keep going and like pull your kids out of the system and pull your family toward you as close as you can. And that's the way we're going to get through this, not voting differently or protesting differently or, you know, whatever all the different anger methods that are promoted out there are. It's just, we have to be the ones that save ourselves now and pull together. So that's all the writing and stuff that I'm doing is really about just trying to have that nice tempered, loving place. 'Cause you know, being someone who's been really pissed off and angry about what they're doing, I realize that doesn't really serve. And we just have to have acceptance and compassion but not for the dark stuff. Like we don't have to envelop that. We push it with our light though. Like with our, and when we lift ourselves, that shit runs away. So we don't have to embrace any of that.
And such an important point, you know, not to buy into the fear and to have joy, you know, to enjoy life. You know, it's not supposed to be this dark and horrible. And even though it is difficult to kind of think, oh, well, you know, have some fun. But there's, you know, the anatomy of an illness, Norman Cousin, you know, cured himself, you know, just through laughter. And even though it seems, you think, well, how can you laugh in all this nonsense going on? Well, try and find something and just, you know, just be with people you love and enjoy, and you know, music and those kind of things that lift your spirit. And that lifts you out of the darkness and the fear. And then you just look at what they're saying and you just laugh at it and just go, nah, no thanks. You know, just.
Well, I get a lot of positive energy when I talk to smart ladies like you. I mean, this is what I get off on, is just talking to smart people that know what's going on and know a way out and don't succumb to the darkness. Why don't we close out with saying something positive about our wonderful friend Northern Tracy, Tracy Northern, just in remembrance of her. She was such a smart woman, and I was so lucky to have talked to her 3 or 4 or 5 times. So why don't we close out with that a nice memory about her, just your favorite memory, anything you want to say?
Yeah, I remember, I love Tracy for her honesty, and I could relate with her on just the trucker mouth.
Yeah.
The feckin' this and feckin' that kind of thing, you know. Yeah. And it was just like, it was like a real camaraderie she brought. She was really fun. She was really funny. And it's really hard to have both funny and smart, you know, in the same body. And she had that package, you know, and yeah. Funny, smart, and also aware. And yeah, I just really thought she was a really fun woman. She was very, she knew how to live. And I wish she lived longer. I wish she was more supported. But that's how I remember her, as being really jovial and lighthearted.
Yeah. That's nice. That's cool. Well, thank you, Amanda, so much. Yummy.doctor for Amanda's work, and all the links are there and on my entry here for tonight's show. Dawn?
I pretty much echo what Amanda was saying. You know, she was absolutely down to earth. At the same time, she was caring and compassionate and very clever and modest. You know, I think she kind of downplayed how talented she was in all those different areas, you know. I don't know. It's just sad that she hasn't got, you know, we haven't got more from her, you know, more to come from her.
Yeah.
Just celebrate what we have got of hers, and, you know, share the book. You know, that's her,
that's legacy, yeah.
in the book, you know, that was a big, that was something special for her, that, you know, it, she'd actually got the book, you know, that was like a tangible thing. I mean, I know websites are brilliant and there's lots of information. Somehow there was something special about the book, and I'm just so honored to have, you know, known her, regarded her as a friend, you know, had those conversations, and, you know, she asked me to write the foreword. So, you know, I've got that connection. I've always got that connection with her still through that. So,
well, that's great.
Yeah. Going to miss her.
Yeah, me too. Me too. She was a great guest, and it's too bad. We need more people that cut through the BS. So thank you so much, ladies, for convening with me and remembering her, and hopefully everyone can share this on their platforms, and if anyone else has more remembrances, they can put them in the comments, etc. So thank you both for joining in. It was great to meet like-minded people on this topic,
and thank you for doing this. It's, you know, it's a wonderful idea. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, all the best. Okay, thank you, Amanda. You, thank you, Don. You guys are great. Everyone follow these ladies. You will live longer, I hope. All right. Have a good one.
Much love.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Be blessed.